Welcome to the Employment Law and HR Podcast with your host, Allison Colley.
Hello and welcome to this episode 163 of the Employment Law and HR Podcast. I'm your host, Allison Colley. I'm an employment solicitor and HR specialist, and I run the firm Real Employment Law Advice. We provide advice and assistance to employers and employees on an everyday basis in relation to employment law and HR, including representation in the Employment Tribunal. For those of you who are regular listeners, you'll know that I said in the last episode I was going to be doing a final episode for the year as a bit of a roundup of the year and what's been happening. And so that's what I'm going to cover. I don't normally do an episode of the podcast over the Christmas holidays, but I just felt like I needed to do one this year, given everything that's happened and following my own reflections on the year that has been 2020. So without further ado, I'm going to get into this week's featured content. So yes, this is a year in review, and I'm sure that no matter what you listen to, who you talk to, or what you watch on TV, it will all cover the same things. Of course, COVID, which continues to dominate our lives and the news, the furlough scheme, and redundancies, all of those sorts of things. So I just thought I would reflect from my own perspective as a small business owner myself and somebody who provides advice and support to lots of businesses and small businesses here on the Isle of Wight, but also around the UK. And my reflections really start back in March when I hadn't really heard too much about the coronavirus. At the time, my cousins live in Vietnam and they had had instances of COVID in Vietnam from sort of January time and were in sort of semi-lockdown measures there. And one of my cousins is a school teacher and the schools were closed. And my mum actually went out to visit Vietnam on holiday in January, and there was lots of discussion about the coronavirus and that kind of thing at that time. But I hadn't really taken it seriously myself. I hadn't really looked into it until the start of March, when it became more prevalent in Europe and there was more reporting about it. And that's when I started to dive into it myself, but really hadn't taken any notice from a serious perspective until that early March time. And in fact, we run a seminar every year, usually around March, on the Isle of Wight as an update event for local business people. And right up until the night before, we weren't planning on covering coronavirus in any great detail, but such was the rapid way things were changing and evolving, and obviously the virus spreading across Europe and the huge impact it was having in Italy at the time. And so literally the night before, I completely rewrote what I was going to be talking about and went from talking about coronavirus in a very small way to being the whole of my content of the update seminar. And then from there, it kind of just snowballed. And I remember, like many of you will, those 2 weeks in March where people were starting to be told to stay at home or advised to stay at home and avoid mixing and mingling, but there weren't any particular directions or strict lockdowns in place. And lots of businesses who I work with were suddenly finding themselves, particularly in the hospitality and tourism industry, with no one coming in, and they were absolutely desperate. And there was that sort of week before lockdown was announced and the furlough scheme was announced, where it was just heartbreaking. I had every day from sort of 9 o'clock through till 6 o'clock telephone calls with business owners and managers and that kind of thing, who were just devastated about the business, how they were going to pay staff, what they were going to do. And it was a really stressful week. And I look back at it now and think, actually, crikey, you know, that's something that you would never really get in your career, or it's sort of once in a lifetime, hopefully, kind of situation. But fortunately, the furlough scheme was announced, and then the rest, as they say, is history. And I've spent the last, 9 months or so, constantly talking about furlough. And I looked back over the episodes that I've done this year, and as I said before, I've never done a review like this before. But actually, I've recorded 25 episodes in 2020, And of those, 8 were episodes about furlough, 3 were episodes around coronavirus and coronavirus measures, and 8 were about redundancy. And I think that just about sums up the year. So of 25 episodes, there were 19 of those about things related to coronavirus, COVID, furlough and redundancy as a result of the impact of the strict lockdown measures that have been in place and continue to be in place. And so, like everybody who works in HR and employment, it has been the year of furlough, 2020. And there have been many a times where I've been working late into the Friday night and over the weekend to prepare update information for our customers or to do a podcast or a video to update people. And it really has dominated my life, I think, over the last year. And so really on reflection, I would say that it's been a very tough year in my and in our area of expertise, employment and HR. And I'm hoping that it can only be positive things from here. But I do fear, without erring on the side of negativity, that as we go into 2021 with the announcements just today on the 30th of December about many parts of the country now moving into tier 4. So I think it's around 78% of the country are in stricter lockdown measures. You know, many industries and businesses have had to close again. And that coupled with the impact of Brexit, although we do have a deal, I think that it is going to be a difficult year for businesses going forward. And I think it's all around this uncertainty piece that actually there doesn't seem to ever be a plan in place from the government. There's no plan on how they're going to deal with things. There's no sort of, there seems to be no forethought for what's going to happen next. And anyone who is a parent will know that as soon as children go back to school in September, you know, the bugs start doing the rounds. And it's from September to December when generally in our house, we have lots of colds and things going around, stomach bugs and that sort of thing. So in my view, it was pretty inevitable that once the schools went back and everybody started to return to work and mixing in schools, that it was going to increase. And there didn't seem to be any plan in place for that. And of course, now we're all in these different tiers. No one's sort of saying how long it's going to last for. So business owners can't plan. They can't plan ahead and look to the future. And I do think that as a result, there are going to be many businesses who just won't be able to cope with another sort of spring season or late winter spring season of restrictions and not being able to work. Because yes, of course, furlough's there to pay staff and there are grants and things available, but there are bills that need to be paid. You know, business owners need to be paid themselves and, you know, leases need to be paid for, stock needs to be paid for, all of that kind of thing. So I do fear, looking at it from a practical perspective, that we will be talking about redundancies lots more in 2021. But I do hope that as the vaccines are rolled out, that we start to return to some element of normality towards the summer and people will start spending again and there will be that boost to the economy that we do need. So that's my reflections in relation to COVID and furlough and redundancy. But of course, there have been some other things that have been going on this year aside from coronavirus. And one of those has been a big shift, I would say, in focus in relation to equality and diversity. And of course, following the death of George Floyd and then the Black Lives Matter movement that followed, there has been an increased focus by media and many organisations in relation to equality and diversity. And certainly, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, we watch quite a lot of sport in our house, particularly around football, football commentary and coverage and football programmes just generally. And I've been following football since I was about 14, so several years since about 1994. And I've seen a huge shift, particularly in relation to the representation of women in football. And you can see that across the media and coverage, and certainly we're seeing that more. I'm not necessarily sure that that's starting to happen at sort of ground level. maybe it's just because of the kind of cases that we end up dealing with. We do work with a lot of women who have been subject to detrimental treatment or discrimination at work, either because of their gender or because of pregnancy or maternity reasons. And so I'm not sure necessarily that that has sort of shifted down and trickled down to the ground level of businesses. But certainly I think there has been a sea change, if you like, and a change of thought about how people deal with equality and diversity issues. So that is a positive, and hopefully that's a positive that will continue into 2021 and we'll see more representation from all minority groups. One of the things that we have seen this year as a result of COVID, another positive, if you like, is a shift in the Employment Tribunal's usage of video and technology to conduct hearings. Now, of course, before, Employment Tribunals would use telephone hearings for things that were like case management hearings or short preliminary hearings in order to save time and resources. And as COVID hit, they then had to shift further and more quickly into the implementation of video hearings. And this is becoming more common now with the technology improving and those people being involved, like judges, barristers, solicitors and parties being involved in the tribunal system, understanding a lot more about how it works and becoming more familiar with it. Certainly we've had two cases this year in my firm where the cases have gone to the final hearing and have been dealt with by video. And one of those, the customer dealt with it herself. She was a litigant in person and decided to represent herself. And the other one, we had a barrister who I'm hoping to interview in a future podcast about the whole usage of video and some tips and hints for people. But certainly, I think it's a really positive thing, particularly for those businesses who are based away from the Employment Tribunal centres. So for example, many of our customers are based on the Isle of Wight and they would have to travel over by ferry or one of the fast jets over to Southampton for an Employment Tribunal hearing. Now that can be time consuming and also costly to do that, particularly if it's a long hearing. So it does offer that opportunity to save time and resources by having it dealt with by video. So that's a real positive that has come from the COVID situation, which has sped up the whole process of the use of technology in the employment tribunals. And I don't see that reverting back again because of the fact that it does save time and resources. And with Employment Tribunal resources having been stripped back and the number of judges reduced, it does enable more flexibility to do it that way. Another positive change that's come up in 2020 is something else that's happened fairly recently, and that is the ACAS early conciliation time period has been extended to 6 weeks. Now, previously, the standard period for early conciliation was 4 weeks. However, there was the option to extend by 2 weeks if both parties agreed and there were still discussions going on. And in my experience, I would say the majority of cases where we were in discussions and the parties were willing to try to negotiate a settlement, it would go into that 6 week period anyway. So it would always go over the 4 weeks. And with the influx of cases, the reduced resources, and that kind of thing, with early conciliation currently, the number of conciliators available and the number of cases they're dealing with has increased. So it means that many cases weren't actually being contacted. The parties weren't being contacted by a conciliator until way into the conciliation period anyway. So as a result, sensibly, the period has been extended to 6 weeks as standard. So when somebody wants to make a claim in the Employment Tribunal or is considering making a claim in the Employment Tribunal, they're required to contact ACAS and start the early conciliation process. And if those parties each want to get involved in discussions to try to resolve the issue before it reaches the Employment Tribunal, they have 6 weeks in which to do so. The other change that's taken place in 2020 in relation to employment law was back in April, the beginning of April, there were changes made to the requirements for employment contracts. So notably, it is now a requirement to issue an employment contract on day one of an employee's employment. And there are various additional requirements that have to be included in a contract of employment or a Section 1 statement. And therefore, whilst employers don't have to change all of their existing staff contracts, when they're issuing new contracts, they are required to ensure that they include these new provisions, things around benefits, training, and various other points. So we've been doing a whole rolling program this year of reviewing contracts for many of our customers and updating them to include those new provisions that came in April, but also to include some things that we've learned or lessons learned over this last year in relation to COVID. So there are several sort of tweaks to our standard employment contracts that we recommend employers include, and we've been doing a review of those. So that's another change that took place in April, and I think we were kind of talking about it from January onwards, and then obviously COVID happened and it kind of got left by the wayside. And I know we've been working on that in the background with lots of our customers, but it's something that employers need to be aware of, and obviously something that's happened this year. So when reviewing, I would recommend that you start looking at your employment contracts again if you haven't already, to see if you need to make any changes to those. And the final thing I wanted to talk about, which was really the only sort of major interesting case that I could think of when I was doing my review of blog posts and podcasts this year, was in relation to the decision about ethical veganism being a philosophical belief for the purposes of the Equality Act. So you may recall in episode 138 of the podcast back in January, I talked about the decision that the particular employee in that case was able to make a claim under the Equality Act in relation to detrimental treatment as a result of a philosophical belief, namely ethical veganism. Now, that was a highly reported case because it's unusual. And of course, as I said at the time, the circumstances and facts were specific to that particular employee. But it was an interesting and notable case, something to talk about other than coronavirus and COVID and furlough. So there we go. 2020 review in relation to employment law and HR. In summary, what would be the headlines? Of course, it's furlough and COVID, followed by a few other bits and pieces, but mostly around COVID, furlough and redundancy. So let's hope that when I'm doing this review at the end of next year, 2021, that we will be talking about much more positive things. Let's hope that there are positive things to come out of the whole COVID situation. Let's hope that there are positive things to come out of us leaving the EU, and that we start to see some green shoots for the future. Certainly at some point in 2021, we're going to have to see those. And I'd love to get back to talking more about being a great employer and the things that businesses can do to make sure that they look after their people and in turn are the most successful that they can be. Now, looking forward to the future, I've already started to set the wheels in motion to interview a couple of guests in early 2021 about some really interesting topics. So hopefully you'll find those useful. But as I said earlier, I'm going to hopefully interview a barrister who has been dealing with video hearings fairly regularly this year, and to give some update on that, some hints and tips. I'm also planning on interviewing someone to talk about domestic violence and what an employer should be doing if they feel that one of their employees has been the victim of domestic violence or is the victim of domestic violence. And I also have someone lined up to talk about adult ADHD, which is a really interesting topic and something that's come up fairly recently with a couple of things I've been dealing with, but something that's also come to my attention only fairly recently. So hopefully you'll find that interesting too. If you have any suggestions for any topics or guests or anything you want me to cover in the podcast in 2021, I would love to hear from you. I know lots of people who listen to the podcast have connected with me on LinkedIn, and I really am grateful for that. So thank you so much. Your kind words and comments have really kept me going throughout 2020. Even in the darkest times when I was in the office all by myself, completely fed up because it was, you know, 4 weeks of having to just sit there on my own listening to people's real issues. So thank you. It really has kept me going. So do please continue to connect with me on LinkedIn. And as I say, send through any comments, questions, topics, interviewee suggestions, all of that kind of stuff. I'd love to hear from you. And of course, I just want to finalise by saying thank you so much for continuing to listen and to support the podcast, and to wish you a very happy new year and a healthy and very positive 2021. I look forward to talking to you again soon, and I hope you have a fantastic new year. Thanks again for listening. Just want to finalise by saying I wouldn't be a lawyer unless I had a legal disclaimer. So I must just say to you that the information in this podcast is for information only. It's general review and a general update. It's always necessary to get specific legal advice about your circumstances. So please don't rely on anything that you've heard in this podcast. But please do feel free to contact me if you'd like further information or specific advice.